Well, good morning, and I'm coming to you this morning by way of Facebook Live because we're not able to get to church. You're like me, sort of shut in because of the snow. And, you know, we're sort of not able to be in the house of the Lord and not able to come together, and I miss that. I miss the worship of God, and I miss being with you, the people of God. And so I want to come to you this morning and give you some thoughts from the Word of God that might encourage you and be a blessing to you this morning. I trust you have your Bible with you, and that you'll open your Bible to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. And we're going to look at a number of verses, but I want to key in first of all on verse number 5. Psalm 42 and verse number 5. Notice here the psalmist says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" The two words cast down are very familiar. As a matter of fact, in that day, you're going to find that probably David, while there's not an author to the psalm, most people believe that David wrote it, although his name doesn't appear in the title above it. They believe that David is the author of the psalm, the writer, and that David is thinking of a sheep that's cast down. It's the idea of a sheep that has gotten away. It's strayed from the shepherd, and it's sort of rolled over on its back, and it can't get up. It's considered a cast sheep. And as a result of that, that sheep will bloat up. It will fill body, the cavern part of its body will fill with gas, and eventually it will suffocate. It'll die, or either its bleeding will draw wolves, or of that day a mountain type lion that would come and devour that sheep and kill it. And so David's speaking of a time of desperation in his life, and he describes his soul as being cast down, as vulnerable. And he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" That word disquieted is the opposite of being quiet. His soul is full of noise and restlessness. Then he says these words, "Hope thou in God." Notice two times he asks a question. He's talking to himself. Why am I cast down? Why am I so depressed and discouraged and so down? And why am I so disquieted? Why is it that there's such noise in my soul? And he comes to these words, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." And I trust you'll underline in this verse four words, "Hope thou in God." And we want to think about that just for a moment. Let's pray, and then we'll dive into the lesson. Father, we sure thank You for Your goodness today. And Lord, I pray for the safety of Your people, Lord, in this inclement weather. I pray, Lord, that the power would remain on, and Lord, that You would watch over and care for Your flock. Lord, we're separated today because of weather, and Lord, You knew all about that. But yet, Lord, I pray You'll unite us together as we just think for a moment about You, Your Word, and we grow together from the Scriptures. And Lord, we find that there is a God of hope. And Father, we'll sure thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I began to think about this passage, and it was written, most Bible scholars believe it was written by David when he was fleeing from his son Absalom. He's exiled from his palace. He's exiled from the people. He's running for his life, and he's cut off from the worship of God. And you're going to find that David is longing for God. He's longing for the people of God. He's longing for the worship of God. He's in a dry place. Look what he says in verse 1. "As the hart, the deer panteth." And that word is a word that has the idea of your tongue hanging out. A desperate thirst. He says, "As the hart, the deer panteth," or desperately thirsts after the water brook, "so panteth my soul after thee, O God." He was desperate for God, and he was thirsty for God. And he says, verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before Him?" Notice he's going to ask the question, when? Verse 3, it's, "Where is thy God?" And then verse 5, "Why art thou cast down?" So it goes from when to where to why. And so he's in a dry place. You ever been in a dry place spiritually? You ever felt like that God was just a million miles away from you? You ever felt like you're just sort of spinning your wheels spiritually and not really going anywhere? Listen, we need to become like David was, and we need to begin to thirst after God. And then verse 3, not only is it a dry place, but it's a difficult place. Notice what he says, My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And here David has been wetting his bed, so to speak, with tears. And he said, they've been my food day and night. He said, I'm continually weeping. And the people around me are saying, David, where's your God? Where's your God, David? Why ain't God doing something? You ever felt like that? In a time of difficulty and the tears flow, that you were asking, where's God in all of this? Just can't seem to find Him. It doesn't seem like feel like you've maybe been abandoned. That's how David felt. He's in a dry place. He's in a difficult place, but then it's a desperate place. Look at verse number 4. He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. He talks, verse 5, of being cast down, as we talked earlier about the cast sheep. He seems hopeless. He seems helpless. And then he remembers, he said, for I've gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy days. He said, I remember happy times. I remember joyful times. I remember good times. But right now I'm in a desperate, dry, difficult place. And then he comes up for air. In the midst of all of it, you find these four precious words in verse number 5. He wasn't hopeless. He wasn't helpless, because he remembered his God. And he says to himself, hope thou in God. And you know what, dear child of God, when you and I get in the dry, desperate, difficult place, when life seems hopeless, when we seem helpless to deal with the circumstances or situations of life, and you know, sometimes we just get blue and there's no reason for it. We get disquieted inside of us and we become restless and all of that. That's when we need to remember God. That's when we need to remember that we always have hope. And I want to give you the formula for it real quickly. First of all, you need to recognize the God of hope. Would you do that? Look if you would, verse number 5. He said, hope thou in God. In the midst of all of it, he recognized there was hope, but it wasn't just any kind of hope. It was God's kind of hope. He said, hope thou in God. You know, hope, just hoping is not really beneficial. But hoping in God is beneficial, because I have someone that I can connect to, someone who can change my circumstances and my situation, someone who can minister in the inner recesses of my own heart. Do you realize that we're never without hope, dear Christian? Because God's eternal, His hope is eternal. And you and I can hope in God. Notice David said, for I shall yet praise Him. Listen, suddenly he begins to come out of the valley to the mountaintop, and he said, instead of singing a song of discouragement, he begins to sing the song of praise, because of the fact that he recognized that he had hope in God. And let me just tell you, don't start singing when you get on the mountaintop. Start singing when you're in the valley. Notice, not only do I need to recognize the God of hope, but I need to rest in the gift of hope. Hope thou in God. How do I do that? First of all, remember His faithfulness. He said, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. He remembered how God had helped him in the past. No doubt David's mind began to reflect the days that he ran from Saul, that he lived in caves, that he was hunted like an animal, and he realized that God turned that situation, that God worked in his life then, and the same God that delivered him then is the same God that can deliver him now. You know what? Sometimes the clouds, the storm clouds of life, they began to so cave in on us that we lose sight of what God has done, and we begin to ask the question, God, where are you? Like they were saying to David. But just remember, the God that helped you in the past is the God that will help you today, and the God that will be there to help you in the future. I want to remind you to remember at this moment the faithfulness of God. There's hope because God is faithful. Then I want you to notice the love of God. Look at verse 8. Know the love of God. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And you know what David's saying right here? He's saying, listen, I need to remember that even though I'm fleeing from my life, I'm in a very difficult place, and it's very hard, and I'm discouraged, and I'm down, and I'm depressed, I need to remember that God loves me. I need to know the love of God. That word loving kindness is an Old Testament word for grace. little boy in Sunday school described it like this. He told his Sunday school teacher, he said, love is when your mama gives you a peanut butter sandwich, but loving kindness is when she spreads the jelly on top. And you know, I'm glad that God doesn't just give us the peanut butter sandwich. He spreads the jelly on top. He gives us His loving kindness. And Christian, even when you hurt, God loves you. And that's why the Bible said to keep yourself in the love of God. Listen, you want hope today. Remember, God is faithful. Number two, know His love. And then number three, sing His goodness. Look at verse number 8 again. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me. Isn't that good? David said, when the nighttime comes and my thoughts begin to cave in around me and my heart's disquieted and boy, I can't distract myself from everything that's going on. It just seems like it's going to overwhelm me. He said, I'm going to sing God's goodness. Christian, never lose sight of the fact that God's good. Even when you and I hurt, He's good. Even when things don't go the way we want them to, He's good. You see, the goodness of God is part of His very character and His very nature, and God's good to us. And you know what? You need to find songs and sing of His goodness. As you sing of the goodness of God, the grace of God wells up in your heart, and it strengthens you and helps you in the moment of despair. I'm glad He gives songs in the night. What about you? And then, here's the next one. Not only remember His faithfulness and know His love and sing His goodness, but now David said, I want to trust His ability. Look at verse number 8. He talks about He will command His loving kindness in the daytime. In the night His song shall be with me. But now watch this next part of verse 8. In my prayer unto the God of my life. You see, He's the God of my life. He's the God who preserves my life. He's the God who protects my life. He's the God who is the God of my life. And it speaks to us of His ability. He said, I'm going to look to the one who's greater than me, that's greater than my circumstances, that's greater than my feelings. You see, too often we're succumbing to feelings and not rising up in faith. We're failing to believe God. We're failing to recognize His ability. He may not always change my circumstances, but I can promise you this, He'll always change you. He'll always change you. So I need to recognize the God of hope. I need to rest in the gift of hope, and that gift is embodied in His Son. In just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And the angel said to the shepherds, I've got some good news for you. Good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And friend, if I know Jesus Christ as Savior, I always have His hope. So I trust in His ability. God is not weak. He's not lost His power. He talks about how that He will praise Him for His help. And I'm glad that we have a God who helps us. And as you remember His faithful and know His love and sing His goodness and trust His ability, you can find His help at work in your life. And so here's the third thing, and I'm going to be done, and that's we need to share the message of hope. You know, it's interesting how the Holy Spirit gave this poem to David. It's recorded in the annals of God's Word. David's not ashamed. He's discouraged. He's not ashamed that he's down. He's not ashamed, and what I mean by that, he's sharing with us. He's giving us His feelings. You know, too often we mask our feelings. He didn't mask it. We see His heart. We see His life. We hear His language. It's the language of the heart. He's voicing what many times you and I voice. And he's saying, listen, I openly heard, and I was desperate, and I was down, and I was discouraged, and I was depressed, but yet there was a door of deliverance. It was called Hope in God. And he shared his message of hope. And let me tell you something, Christian. You and I need to be continually sharing the message of hope. We live in a hopeless world. We live in a world that's desperate. We live in a world that's dry. We live in a world that's downcast and depressed. But I'm telling you, there's hope in God today. And we need to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a small metal door painted white in the side of a little tiny mission church in Johannesburg, South Africa. That door changes lives. As a matter of fact, on it are painted these words, Door of Hope. And that's exactly what it is for various babies within that city. on average, the 40 to 50 babies were being abandoned on the streets of Johannesburg, South Africa, to die of exposure, starvation. And that wasn't just a year, that was a month. That was before the mission, though, installed their door to a baby bin, allowing mothers to anonymously deposit their unwanted babies and have someone love them and care for them. Now this same mission with that door of hope is saving over 100 babies a year. Isn't that a wonderful story? Isn't that a great story of love and hope for those babies and for those mothers? What an incredible door. But I'll tell you something, there's an even greater door, an even more wonderful door. It's an incredible door. And Jesus says, I am the door. He's the door of hope today. When you and I come to Christ and receive Him as Savior, knowing that we're sinners, we cannot save ourselves, but that Jesus died in my place, that He was buried and rose again, and He said, whosoever would receive Him, believe on Him. See, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever walked through the door of hope? Have you received the door of hope? Can I encourage you to do that today? Why don't you fall on your knees right now? Tell Him you're a sinner. Tell Him you want to be saved. Ask Him to save you. And you know what? He promised He would. Sins forgiven. The hope of heaven. What a joy that is. And then, dear Christian, if you've received the God of hope, why don't you rest in His hope today and trust Him? He'll not let you down because He's faithful. God bless you.